Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go there.
With Shira and Ryan.
Oh my God. Entertainment.
Music. Pop culture.
LGBT plus news. Oh. Let's go there.
Start now.
Happy Monday.
Hi.
What's up? Hope you're having a great one. And shout out to, hopefully, my Lyft driver from today who's listening. One more listener.
Well, hello, Lyft driver. See, I tend to not talk to my driver, so good for you for talking to yours.
You know what? I won't necessarily. After I do the radio show, if I do a Lyft or an Uber,
yeah,
I will because I'll be done. I won't really be on my phone anymore. But typically, if it's during the day.
That's so gross.
What do you mean? That's real.
Like you talking to them? I just
you know
can't imagine.
I feel like there's an awkwardness of like we're both in here in this car. It's
no,
like
you
a 30
put your
minute
headphones
ride.
On.
I don't have headphones right now.
Wow, that's your problem. That is your problem.
But you know what? I've had really great conversations, and I think in every interaction
True,
I have. And then I balance. I don't need to talk to them the whole time.
See, I have to be in the mood and open to it.
Yeah.
I think sometimes if a driver tries to push
talking,
I think that is just not okay. I think you have to read, like, the room, read the car, read everybody's nonverbal cues, let you know that I do not want to do it. If I have my headphones in, which I make sure, even if I'm not listening to anything, my headphones are always in so people don't automatically, like, come up to me.
Wow, that's a great way to, you know, connect with the world.
I mean, I choose who I connect with. You got to choose who you allow your energy to be intertwined with.
True, but there's a reason. The universe has put me in that car for a reason.
No, that's not how that works. You just needed to get somewhere. That's how that works.
So anyway, so, you know, I tell everyone about the show wherever I am.
Yes, we're famous.
So that they listen. So I, yeah, anyway, who knows? Maybe he's not even listening. I told him to call in. But I'm feeling very summer vibes. We're in the middle of summer. But there's like this conflict because I feel like I'm summer vibes and I'm having to go to work.
Uh-huh.
So it ends up, you know, that I wear basically like a beach outfit.
Well, it's the idea of like radio, just because you're on radio, people just hear our voices, you don't have to try.
What are you saying?
I'm not saying that was targeted to you, but you will just never see me not, you know, giving a look, even though I'm talking to you guys. So if you are hearing my voice, imagine me looking very cute because that's how I look.
So it depends what you consider cute.
What do you think about Shira?
You know what? Different people have different perceptions of cute. Some people like the chill beach vibe look.
And here's what we'll do. We'll put our outfits up on our social media. We are Channel Q. You'll check it out on our Insta story, and you guys can be the vote. You'll see who tried and who didn't try.
That is not fair. It took a lot for me to get these flip-flops, this sundress, and oversized sweatshirt out of my closet.
You are like one Old Navy sale from being like the competitor of like all things flip-flops. I used to work at Old Navy. I love them.
These are actually from a Rite Aid.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Old Navy.
I wasn't going to say CVS because they suck.
Yeah, we just talked about them.
All right, let's get into what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour.
Oh, this show's wild.
This Thursday, Florida is scheduled to execute a notorious serial killer who targeted gay men on a murderous rampage in the 1990s.
Wow, is it Christmas?
What?
Is it Christmas because this guy's like gone?
I feel like more and more, I don't feel like I hear these stories as much. I feel like it's from the past. These were like Ted Bundy-like stories.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, I feel like the idea of being a serial killer has changed. Like, instead, people are doing mass shootings instead of like this is like a very American horror story, kind of like plotted out. Like
true. And like, it's secret.
Right. So I think there's a different type of like killer happening
take.
Right now.
Well, known at the time as the I-95 killer, Gary Ray Balls used stolen identities to evade the police for months before finally being captured, tried, and sentenced to death in 1996 and 1999.
See, this music made it very, like, a lot easier for us to talk about that. It made like, very happy. So, shout out to that.
Now, Denmark's prime minister said this Sunday that the idea recently floated by President Trump to buy Greenland is absurd. Really? You think? Well, Trump also told reporters on Sunday that buying Greenland is a strategically interesting idea compared to compared the proposition to, of course he did this, to a large real estate deal.
I think he's trying
Greenland,
to push.
I don't know. It got released somehow. It's just something we talked about. Denmark essentially owns it. We're very good allies with Denmark. We protect Denmark like we protect large portions of the world. So the concept came up, and I said, certainly I'd be strategically, it's interesting, and we'd be interested, but we'll talk to them a little bit. It's not number one on the burner, I can tell you that.
Really? You think it's not number one on the burner? You don't, there's, I mean, there's other issues we're dealing
there's
with.
There's a whole anyway. Economy that's possibly sinking. We don't know what's happening.
Racism,
here.
Racism, sexism,
I think
mass
it's a,
shootings,
it's like an
death.
Agenda. I feel like nothing but like European-esque people live in Greenland. And so he's trying to create more space for them, possibly. I don't know, like for us to go over.
I mean, I'll go to Greenland.
I know. He probably would love a woman that looks like you to go to Greenland.
He wants all the hippies, all the left.
All the white women.
The snowflakes to go to Greenland. We have a place for you. And this is from the prime minister. He goes, I think it's a she. Oh, God. Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen. It's Monday.
That's embarrassing.
Thankfully, the time where you buy and sell other countries and populations is over. Snap. I love that statement. Let's leave it there.
She is a beautiful woman.
Yes, I said. Okay.
She's exactly how, when I was talking about white women in Greenland, is exactly how I imagined it.
Well, she said, let's leave it there. Jokes aside, we will, of course, love to have an even closer strategic relationship with the United States. Okay, that's
and their
a
political
nice
party,
way of
her political
it.
Party is a social democrat. So I'm interested in her response being like, oh, we would love to have a more of a close relationship, especially seeing kind of what's going on in our own political climate.
Teach us the ways, Greenland. Well, Trump is scheduled for a visit next month as part of his tour in Europe. And it actually has nothing to do with his interest in purchasing Greenland, where actually a U.S. airbase is located. Mm. So we already have ties. Now, let's move on to this big story that happened today. NYPD officer Daniel Pantaleo has been fired. A New York Police Department judge earlier this month said Pantaleo, the officer accused of fatally choking Eric Garner in 2014, should be fired. However, the commissioner had the final say. Now, last month, Attorney General William Barr declined to bring federal charges against him.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So, while it's nice to see some action here, is it too little, too late? We'll be discussing that
yep.
right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Now, 5 years after Eric Garner's tragic death by the hands of the police in a video that we've all seen, that moment where this man says, I can't breathe. And now the officer who killed him has been fired. New York City Police Commissioner James O'Neill announced his decision today to fire NYPD officer Daniel Pantaleo after it was found that he'd violated a policy by restraining Garner with a prohibited chokehold in 2014. Now, here's what he had to say.
But an officer's choices and actions, even made under extreme pressure, matter. It is unlikely that Mr. Garner thought he was in such poor health that a brief struggle with the police would cause his death. He should have decided against resisting arrest, but a man with a family lost his life, and that is an irreversible tragedy. And a hardworking police officer with a family, a man who took this job to do good, to make a difference in his home community, has now lost his chosen career. And that is a different kind of tragedy. In this case, the unintended consequence of Mr. Garner's death must have a consequence of its own. Therefore, I agree with the Deputy Commissioner of Trial's legal findings and recommendations. It is clear that Daniel Pantaleo can no longer effectively serve as a New York City police officer.
Okay. Here to talk about this breaking story today, we've got Fox News contributor and host of the Fowler Nation, Richard Fowler. Welcome back.
It's good to be back with you guys.
Yes.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. So, Richard, first things first, I want to know your thoughts on this commissioner's statement because, you know, people online are not happy with it, saying that, you know, Eric Garner is still being blamed for his own death with, you know, the commissioner saying things like, you know, Eric Garner should have decided against resisting arrest. What are your thoughts about that?
I think, you know, what I will say is this. One, let's be very clear. Mm-hmm. 5 years is way too long for Officer Pantaleo to be finally fired after engaging in the legal chokehold, which is what killed Eric Garner. But I did find it very troubling and indeed problematic that that the police chief really tried to make it seem as though Mr. Garner was somehow guilty of causing his own death, especially when, let's be very clear, selling a loose cigarette in the city of New York is a traffic ticket, period. And you get a citation for selling a loose cigarette, which is what Mr. Garner was doing. And what we saw was Mr. Garner was killed for selling a loose cigarette in front of a convenience store. And I think it's very important to realize that. And beyond that, the fact that he yelled out 12 times, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." And before yelling that, he also said, "You guys always do this to me," meaning he is clearly he was targeted by the NYPD and these particular officers. Sort of speaks to it's sort of sad that the police chief decided to go down this route of making it seem as though Mr. Garner was somehow a guilty party in his own murder.
Yeah, it's also weird because one thing, a part of the fuller clip about his statement was he kind of tried to shape this narrative about the police officer, like, oh, it's sad that he can no longer do his purpose of being a good police officer.
He got stuck in a bad position.
Yeah, that's what it felt like, and I think that's why it really triggered a lot of people.
Yeah, and let's put it this way. If your particular office has protocols, right? If your office says you have to be at work at 9 o'clock, or your office says that you can't, drive. If you're a driver and your office says you can't drive more than 30 miles an hour, the moment that you break office policy, you're in the wrong, no matter what.
Now, it's interesting because Pandaleo's lawyer said they actually plan to appeal the termination. They want to get his job back. I mean, at what point do they just kind of like let it go? Because I'm just blown away that they think they even have anything to defend him. They're saying they argued that it was based on health issues. Like, it's not about the chokehold. He had a health issue. What do you think about that?
I mean, listen, once again, I think this has everything to do with the fact that there was an illegal chokehold, and that illegal chokehold resulted in the death of Eric Garner, period.
Yeah, and I agree. And actually, to wrap this whole thing up, because obviously I want to know, should African-Americans feel like this is a victory today?
That's a good one. That's a good question. Don't get me wrong. Martin Luther King had a famous quote that said, "Justice delayed is indeed justice denied." And I think that is true. But with that being said, let's also remember that for years, the Garner family has been asking for justice. And yes, the city of New York has paid them a settlement, but it still doesn't deal with the fact that this officer was allowed to walk the streets and possibly use the legal chokehold again to victimize other people of color. So this is a victory that we have one bad police officer off the force, but we need to be having a conversation in our country about how we rebuild trust between communities of color and police departments. And taking 5 years to fire an officer who engaged in a legal chokehold that was caught on tape is what breaks down that trust, because nobody will trust the police to do the right thing. Nobody will trust the justice system to provide actual justice for members of the public when they're victimized by police.
Yeah,
and Eric Garner's daughter said today, "We will continue to fight. It's not over."
That's Emerald. That's one of his daughters. Erica Garner, she actually lost her life fighting justice for Eric, her dad. And so, yeah, Emerald is still, speaking her truth.
Well, Richard Fowler, thanks again for being here today. We appreciate it, and I'm sure you will be back soon.
It's good to be with you guys.
Bye. Richard, again, is a Fox News contributor. You can find out more of his stuff on his Instagram, Richard A. Fowler. Now, coming up, we're moving into top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. What's the tea, Ryan?
Okay, so yes, coming up in 7 minutes, we're diving in on why a conventional marriage would quote-unquote kill Jada Pinkett Smith. I'm spilling that tea and more.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
All right, so we are back with What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. And girl, I have been ready to spill.
Ooh.
So Jada Pinkett Smith, obviously we love talking to her. Talking about her on this show. We love the Red Table Talk with her daughter, Willow Smith, and her mother. I forgot her mom's name, but it's not that important. There's something very interesting coming out of Yahoo Entertainment, where she was basically talking about in this new interview of The Guardian, where she basically shed light on why, she does the hit show and why they disclose so many intimate details with the public. And she said, even the word wife, like she said, I knew that I was not built for conventional marriage. She said, even the word wife, it's a golden cage, swallow the key. Even before I was married, I was like, that will kill me.
Well, that, I think guys feel that way too. Like on either side, I think that title can sometimes have a weight. depending on where, your background, where you're from, your thoughts on traditional
does it seem like, yeah, I guess, well, because she's been open to talking about when she got married, like when her, on her wedding day, she was in the worst mood. She knew she didn't want to do it. She just, it wasn't that she didn't want to be married to Will, but it was just like she knew that she was doing all the theatrics for Will instead of for herself. And so
well, yeah, she just wanted to live on a farm.
Well, she's kind of, I mean, she's not doing that, but I know, yeah, you're like intense about it too. But I think it's interesting to think about that because I think the idea of conventional marriage and all that, I'm kind of not even into it. One, it's already not really conventional if you really think about it because it's same sex. Two, I think for me, I honestly rather have a partnership than go through all of the logistics of like court and like, you know, changing last names and all this stuff. Like, it's just a lot and it costs a lot. Like, once you're like, let's say yeah. it doesn't work out, like, you have to pay to kind of get out of this agreement, this contract that you got. It's just not attractive to me. It takes all the way out the love.
The romance.
Yeah, and the romance of it all. Yeah,
it's very formulaic. I mean, I like the creating vows in a celebration of your love.
Which you could do that at any party.
Yeah, in front of family and friends. And yeah, I'm not sure what I think about marriage still. I do love the idea of partnership and having someone you could rely on in like a HQ. And I feel like kids. Having a child seems more natural,
yeah.
which it is.
And she even clarified, she said it was the institution of marriage as a whole yeah. that made her hesitant. She said, but I can assure you that some of the most powerful women in the world feel caged and tied because of the sacrifices they have to make to be in that position. So I wanted to talk about how we really feel about marriage. And you know, she's not even the only one that feels that way. Oprah Winfrey has been very open about her relationship with Stedman and how she couldn't even see herself going to that next step. She was like, I can't. I remember she said in an interview a long time ago, she was like, she felt like, you know, it would be like kind of cutting her feet off in some ways where it yeah. was like she would just feel like, oh, I can't do this.
I think people like an Oprah or even Jada that lead so much with their instinct and gut, and when it comes to issues like that, when it feels off,
yeah.
it's hard for them to wrap their minds around.
Would you ever
around...
feel that way? Or,
yeah, I mean, I felt that way in my previous relationship, which is why I had to end it, because I said to him, we both feel like an anxiety around it, and we should probably feel like we feel about other decisions yeah. in our life a bit more like there's a flow or we're excited about it.
Yeah, see, okay, wait, let's put a little pause in okay. that. I want to kind of briefly continue that when we get back from this break. But up next, of course, we have more coming up. You got to find out who Kim Kardashian owes her entire career to. She's actually speaking about it. That and more coming up in What's the Tea?
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
All right, so we're back with What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. And we were wrapping up our last story talking about Jada Pinkett Smith and how she literally feels like the idea of conventional marriage would kill her. And I was kind of wanting to talk to Shira about this, like, very, very briefly. So keep it short.
Oh, that's very
kind of
mean.
about kind of like how that is kind of, do you feel like you feel those same kind of ideas are that feelings when it comes to your future of marriage or whatever you
well,
want to.
Well, if you look at my current status, I'm 36, not married and childless. So I guess it,
you
know,
are the
definition
into of unconventional.
That. Well, you know, but I do in a way, I in my head, I want to say like I can land on that.
Yeah.
But then every time I think about it, it feels like this surreal vibe. And I know they say when you know, you know. So I guess I don't know yet. And I haven't yeah. had the opportunity to. But it does feel like having children feels more natural. Like we're more made like to have children, obviously, than to necessarily create this
be like pinned down to someone.
Yeah, but I do like the idea of having a partner. I
yeah.
think it's needed. It's hard to raise kids.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, I don't know. If you guys want to know more about kind of Jada Pinkett Smith and her relationships, you got to watch Red Table Talk, which airs on Mondays on Facebook Watch. But now, I really want to get into this Kim Kardashian story.
Let's
because, one, she's finally kind of opening up about, you know, everyone talks about Kim Kardashian. The only reason why she's famous is because of the sex tape. Well, she feels like she owes Paris Hilton everything when it comes to her career. An exclusive clip coming up, you know, from this upcoming season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Kim and her sister Khloe have a very heart-to-heart moment with Kim confessing that she owes basically everything to Paris. Here's that clip.
Draw the line.
That's so nice that you're doing that, though.
Yeah. I really would want to do anything for her. She literally gave me a career. And I, like, totally acknowledge that.
A lot of people, no matter of how they got their success, they wouldn't say, like, I got my career because of Paris. And they wouldn't say, I'm going to do you a favor. They'd be like, haha, bitch, look who's popping out. Where you're so sweet and kind and your schedule's crazy. And
what, did you dump the B word? You can say it. You can say bitch. You can say it now. Anyway, we're back. Here's the thing. I'm very I connected with this story because one, I feel like I've had a lot of great mentors in my life that have helped me get to places where I'm like where I'm at now, and specifically you, Shira. And I felt
Meyer Paris Hilton.
I mean, in a way, I feel that in some sorts. Where even when we started this station or when we started this show, I was like, oh my God, what that fine line between, you know, obviously being loyal but wanting to grow and making sure that you're still, you know, not letting business
interfere
with our friendships and relationships. So for
you'll
me,
you'll have to give me some more jobs when you get the jobs.
Oh, for sure, for sure. But here's the thing: that's what like Kim was saying about Paris, where she was like, "I will literally go with you know above and beyond anything that she needs." And I love that type of loyalty. I'm a Leo. I'm a very loyal person. I think that is a part of my DNA. And so for me, when I saw the story, I was like, "Oh my God, I totally relate to having people in your life where you feel like, okay, I'm always going to be loyal to them, but then also how do you draw that line between the separations of growing yourself and then also making sure that that person's fine
well, everyone wants to rise together. I mean, that's the idea. Yeah. Like,
but sometimes it doesn't happen like that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think that those are people that will probably suffer and limit themselves if they're just going to be like the only one that could be the star in the group of friends or their family and all that. Like,
right.
I don't know. That feels very pointless, but obviously that's a perspective. What I thought was really cool is, you know, to hear Kim acknowledge that, it feels very real considering like she might not. Right, and it's also.
I mean,
the fact
Kim was cleaning closets and styling Paris. Like she was basically Paris let her come anywhere that she wanted to.
But also considering Paris, you know what I think the sex tape thing and all she's looked at in a kind of lower. I hate to say lower celebrity
Paris
class is? Way. Yeah.
Okay.
And so for Kim to those say, I don't care where she's been, even or like how people look at Paris.
But they both had the same kind of coming up.
Oh, that's true. They both had. Sex
yeah,
sex
and sex then sex. Also Paris was that girl in the 2000s. Like you know her and her. Show with Nicole Richie, they were those
I know, but,
girls,
but meaning,
and you partied with them, so you were the epitome. That was like Hollywood glam.
Yes,
epitome.
I was there. Go on Wire Image. So anyway, I just give some respect. Like Kardashian gets a lot of crap, but I give her respect for saying these things.
Yeah. Okay. So there's more to this story. Obviously, if you want to head over to our website, We Are Channel Q, go over there and check it out for more entertainment stories. You know, we're always spilling the tea. But for now, keep us favorited on that radio.com app.
Now coming up, a funeral for a glacier. Iceland's powerful message around climate change coming up after this on What's Trending in the News in 9 minutes.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
So let's get into What's Trending in the News right now, top of the hour. People living in Iceland are devastated after news broke that one of their glaciers had disappeared because of climate change. So satellite photos show how Jökull has now been reduced to like a very tiny bit of ice on top of a volcano. And according to the BBC, it was officially declared dead in 2014 when researchers found it wasn't thick enough to move, but recent NASA pictures show just how much ice had receded since then. So in honor of all of this happening, a group of people traveled to where it once stood and held a funeral for it. In addition to that, they also put a plaque there that had a pretty chilling message attached to it saying, "Okay, is the first Icelandic glacier to lose its status as glacier. In the next 200 years, all our main glaciers are expected to follow the same path. This monument is to acknowledge that we know what is happening and what needs to be done. Only you know if we did it." In addition to that message, it also notes the current level of CO2 in the atmosphere so that generations in the future have a reference point to look back on. Now, people also brought signs that said declare climate emergency and pull the emergency brake as they hiked to the site. So there was a lot of protesters around climate change and environmentalists there. And Iceland's prime minister said this is the first glacier that's formally declared an ex-glacier. And a glaciologist actually made a map of all the glaciers in around Iceland in 2000 and found more than 300. 17 years later, 56 have disappeared.
I mean, that clearly shows there's an issue.
There's something happening.
And I feel like we continue to talk about climate change and what our environment is doing and all these things. But I also feel like, isn't it a little weird to have like a kind of a quote unquote funeral for this piece of ice?
No, because the world, like things around us, not just humans, live and die. And why not acknowledge
that? It's a piece of
ice.
So by science terms, things melt. So that's why I'm like, will you have a funeral for your ice cube that melted into
your
kombucha?
It's not. There's a difference between an ice cube in a glass and something that was part of our world and that we kind of like it ended
which
up
which I get but I think
there's just because of our actions. So it's more us taking responsibility and acknowledge that we have a place in this. Yeah. And it's a statement.
I still go back to what Joy Behar on The View said. She feels like every time something happens to the environment, the weathermen should be saying it, like in everyone's homes on the local news. It should be integrated through that way.
But similarly, this is a way to also do it, to say like, okay,
having a funeral for an ice.
Yes. I think I think this was an interesting take. If they did for everyone, would I think it's a bit much? Yes. But the fact is they wanted to make a statement with this one. And I do think the whole plaque thing is a great idea too, because it was a historic spot.
Yeah.
It wasn't like my kombucha is a historic place in this earth.
I mean, you don't know where the roots of kombucha came from.
Although it does have an interesting quote on it.
Okay. Anyway.
Leaders of the Christian right are loving the Department of Labor's announcement that it wants to let companies with government contracts discriminate against those who offend a contractor's religious beliefs. This statement came from Matt Staver, who is part of the Liberty Council. He said, "I commend the Trump administration and the Department of Labor for not discriminating against religious employers and organizations that can provide the same high-quality services as allowed by other federal contractors. The religious freedom of individuals and organizations is protected under federal law and the Constitution. It is past time to end discrimination against churches and Christian viewpoints." So they think they're being discriminated against. Okay. "The move is in keeping with our nation's history of respect for moral and religious beliefs. And the new rule would expand the exception greatly so that even for-profit companies not affiliated with a religious group could actually claim a religious basis for discriminating against LGBTQ employees and others." So something to look out for, a policy that was just implemented.
I mean, most definitely needed, right?
No.
Oh, it's no, sorry.
It protects them.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
But if that's what you think, Ryan, I know where you stand. So, now, if you don't believe, I could see you don't believe in the ICE, and then you don't believe in human rights.
Don't believe in anything that has to do with gay people.
I believe it. Now, Holly Gerrolds wore a tux in her senior pictures. The Alabama student had dressed in masculine clothing for years, including for prom. But this is an interesting story. When Gerrolds opened her class yearbook, she wasn't surprised to discover that her photo had been left out. She was also listed instead as not pictured, and her name was misspelled. She said, and this became now a national story, she said, "Ever since I was a child, I've always worn masculine clothing. That's what I've always felt comfortable with." Now, the school's superintendent defended the school's decision, saying the district doesn't micromanage the yearbook photos and all that. But now, because of all this reaction, they're going to now update it, and they're going to add in her picture and add in her name properly. So that's all she wanted. So something was changed, and the policy was updated. So you go. That's something happening around the country in Alabama. Mm-hmm. What's trending in the news top of the hour right here on Let's Go There? More the next hour. Now, coming up, Taiwan, if you remember, became the first country in Asia to legalize gay marriage earlier this year. More news on that and their upcoming Pride event that will have you booking your flights stat.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
So big news this year from Taiwan, because yes, Taiwan is the first country in Asia to legalize same-sex marriage. And we celebrated that here on Channel Q, and everyone was celebrating it really around the world.
Such a beautiful moment, especially to see the photos and the videos that came out of Taiwan, and just everyone just being so proud of who they are, and just a beautiful, authentic moment.
Yeah, so it's something we want to dive more into. We usually don't have necessarily daily access to people who are from Taiwan.
Right,
because, you know, typically we're also on different time zones.
Yes.
And so actually we have the honor of having someone in studio and on the phone who is working with the Taiwan Tourism Bureau. We have Peter, who's in studio. Peter Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And we have Alex Wang, Managing Director of Elite Voyages, also here. Welcome to the show, both of you.
This is the Taiwan Tourism Bureau, right?
Yes.
This is huge. This is a moment. I feel very special, Shira.
Yes, and we definitely are using this to then hopefully get there.
Oh, honey. This is the only reason why we're doing it.
No. I think it's really important because there is so much happening in Asia right now, and specifically human rights is so important, and you guys are really leading the way. Can you describe that day when that happened for both of you? How did both of you feel?
Well, it was a big surprise, and then, you know, it's like a long-awaited day. It happened this May 24th.
Yeah.
And then the first day, we have more than like 300 couples got married.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, yeah. It was a big festival all over the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's a very gay-friendly country, and then so everybody, especially the younger generation, was really excited.
I'm sure. Well, the younger generation in many ways is leading the way in different places where it hasn't been accepted yet, which is which is great. Now, Alex, for you, because you come from the Elite Voyages space, how have you seen changes in terms of now people deciding they want to go there and possibly even get married there?
Yeah, of course. It's very, exciting moment for, you know, all the members in the family. You know, we are so happy to share the great news with them. And that's why we are trying to organize, you know, a group to go there to celebrate with them for the first Parade Pride in this year.
Wait, when is that?
Yeah, tell us more about that.
Yeah, actually, per Taiwan Tourism Bureau's, we are trying to organize a very interesting, fun group to go to Taiwan all the way, you know, like 1,000 miles away to celebrate with them. So the trip is about 7 days, 5 nights.
Okay.
You know, all the members are from Los Angeles, in San Francisco, New York, basically from the United States.
When is this happening, and when is Taiwan's Pride?
Last weekend of October.
Oh, so it's coming up.
Oh, wow. That's kind of around our coming out day as well, like our anniversary. I guess, you know, the interesting thing that I find about this is all these amazing changes that kind of happened. I'm wondering, you know, I guess what is the government kind of doing to make sure LGBTQ people are protected during their times there? Because, you know, people could still be a little bit fearful with traveling in general to places.
Yeah, when we travel, like, safety is definitely the major concern.
Yeah.
And right now, the Congress passed a lot of laws, not only to legalize the same sex marriage that, you know, for people to say have any discrimination against gay people is going to be illegal. Taiwan, I'm proud to say that for the past 3-4 years has been chosen to be the safest country to travel to in Asia.
Wow, that's a really, I mean, honestly, that is a huge deal because a lot of times, you know, even when it's LGBTQ people have a rough, especially overseas, where they're like, oh, I just want to go somewhere, enjoy my time either with my friends or my partner, just to feel just welcomed. And so that's a beautiful thing that you guys should be patting on your back. Of course, it's beautiful.
Are you working? Because a lot of the apps, you know,
like Grindr,
Grindr, like they're a way to bring people together in community. And they actually have created measures and security to make sure that people don't show up when they're in certain places. But now that Taiwan has opened it up, are you working with any of those apps to help people when they travel in those places?
Not necessarily working with those apps that, like, Grindr has, like, contacted me.
Come on, honey. We love a Grindr.
Okay. Taiwan, okay, you'll be really surprised. Even I'm surprised. I see, like, you know, young people, especially those, like, millennials or post-millennials, like men and men holding hands on subway everywhere, and which that we don't even really see over here. They even like kiss on the streets.
Yeah.
And so, and they are different, like, apps, some apps that we don't have here. Very detailed. They have apps like for, like, for example, elderly men like younger men, or Eastern people like Eastern people. Or
specific.
I mean, I love that. I think also, Alex, out of this entire experience, what do you want to share with our listeners, our LGBTQ plus listeners, about, you know, traveling? What's the one thing they should be taking away from this conversation?
Traditionally, we think Asia is more conservative, but actually, if you go there, you will experience the open atmosphere, especially during among the younger generation. You know, they're pretty open. Also, from the thousands of years culture, you know, Chinese people is pretty moderate. So you don't need to worry about safety at all, especially for this trip. And since it's the first celebration after the gay marriage, I'm sure the government is going to take more control of. So during this trip, we also, you know, rented some iconic, you know, restaurant, Michelin restaurant, 4 of them actually, for our customers to experience Chinese food.
Okay, wait.
That.
So where can people find out more about this trip?
Yeah, it seems like or just traveling to Taiwan.
Yeah, you can just tap on elitevoyages.com/Taiwan. You will find it.
Okay, and what is something that people might be surprised about, this new movement
In
Taiwan? We might not know?
Well, I'll say that Taiwan, is getting so open. I mean, to call it the shining beacon of human rights, Taiwan totally deserves the name. And to travel to Taiwan, especially for LGBT. people to go there. We offer a lot of things that we don't find over here. Yeah.
I love that. I need to see. Peter already told me before we went on. He said you would be so popular there. I'm telling you, Shira, I need a man. I'm single and ready to mingle.
You got to fly to Let's Taiwan with me.
Okay.
You'll get married there.
I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for my trip, guys.
Do you find that other countries in Asia are reaching out to be like, how did you get here? Other maybe groups, activists that are trying to create some change in their areas?
I'm hearing that, okay, in Japan, South Korea, now Taiwan being the first country to legalize same-sex marriage, it's very educational.
Oh, love
you know,
that.
It's educating people. It is okay
to
have same-sex marriage. So I'm happy to see the trend going towards that way.
Yeah, because I feel like now you have a model for other countries and other people.
Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here. Again, Peter Lee, who's a tour guide of the Taiwan Tourism Bureau, and Alex Wang, Managing Director of Elite Voyages. We hopefully will see you in Taiwan soon.
I mean, for
sure. Thank you so much.
And head over to wearechannelq.com for all the information if you want to check it out.
Now, coming up, a diet app for kids. Yes, this is happening, and we're definitely going there after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Now, Weight Watchers just released an app that tracks kids' food and diet. As you can imagine, they are completely under fire for it. A lot of people believe it's irresponsible and pretty much flat out dangerous. It's called Curbo, and it's referred to as rewarding and inspirational. They gamify dieting for kids, basically.
Yeah, it's really gross. And honestly, it makes me feel like, has anyone, like, are all these people losing their minds? Because what is this idea that you need to be stuffing down children's throat, that they need to like either lose weight or diet, like very toxic dieting culture, especially in the world of social media, where they're already seeing their quote unquote, you know, celebs or social media influencers try, and they're trying to be put into this box of like, I need to look like this. Like, it's a very toxic move. And honestly, I am done. It really made me upset when I saw this.
Well, joining us right now, we have a registered dietitian and nutritional counselor, Abby Langer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So when you heard about this launch for the app Curbo, what are your thoughts coming from your perspective of where you're at in the industry?
Oh, my God. I mean, I was outraged, and I still am. I think that it's just diet culture for kids, honestly. There is no way that kids need to be tracking their food. Kids as young as 8. I mean, my daughter's 9. I can't even imagine having her track her food, you know, looking at before and after pictures on the website of kids like who have lost weight. I just makes me want to vomit. Seriously.
Yeah. It was, I feel that same way. I was honestly kind of triggered because I am a thickums man, you know, gay man, and I am super proud of it. But the idea of even when I was younger, dealing with the kind of ups and downs of me accepting my body and still going through that, it really made me upset. And I wanted to know from your perspective, because we found you through the Vice article, Vice.com article that talked about this whole entire ordeal. I wanted to know for you, like, how can apps like these be triggering or, you know, for jumpstarting or continuing eating disorders?
Oh, wow. I mean, first of all, at the very least, if, you know, kids who are overweight know they're overweight. They don't need to feel worse about themselves.
Yeah.
Chances are they already feel bad, or, you know, because they're different, or they might be getting teased. So when your parents, who are supposed to love you unconditionally, give you an app like this and say, you need to lose weight. Here, look at these before and after pictures. There's something wrong with this kid who's fat, but then there's something so right about the kid who's lost weight in the after picture. I mean, what does that do to a child's psyche? To get that from their parents, and then just the tracking. I mean, as a dietitian, I've been a dietitian for 20 years, and I mean, a lot of adults can't handle the obsessiveness of tracking their food. I mean, some people do well with it, but I have a lot of clients who've been triggered by it in terms of like disordered eating by tracking and compulsively logging their food. How is it going to be for a child of that age? Like, the apps marketed to from 8 to 17 years of age, that's it's outrageous.
Well, so Weight Watchers obviously thought this was an important thing. They probably thought it would expand their audience and their reach and have new customers. Is there a way they could have even done this well? Or like any sort of pitch around diet for kids, it should have been just poo-pooed from the get-go.
You know, well, Weight Watchers defends the app by saying, you know, it uses this traffic light system and that's been used since the 1970s. I mean, I could probably name a lot of things that have been used since the 1970s that aren't a good idea still. But they also say, well, you know, there's research behind it and the research shows that apps or whatever, medically supervised weight loss doesn't have any kind of implications in terms of eating disorders for kids. But this isn't medically supervised at all.
Yeah.
And what Weight Watchers should do is stop trying to defend it and basically pull it. This needs to be canceled.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Kerbo co-founder, Joanna Strober, she actually said in a statement, according to recent reports from the World Health Organization, childhood obesity is one of the most serious public health challenges of the 21st century. She continued to go on and say, I can personally attest to the importance and significance of having a solution like Kerbo by Weight Watchers, which is inherently designed to be simple, fun, and effective.
That's so ridiculous. I do honestly think, and I saw that, and I think I sprained my eyeballs from rolling them so hard.
Because, yes.
You know, as if that is going to solve, a stupid app is going to solve the obesity crisis. Are you kidding me? What we really need is education for parents. Yeah. Not for kids only. Yeah. These 8-year-olds are not going to the grocery store and buying the food. It's the parents. Parents and these parents, a lot of them have a lot of challenges. Like some of them work shift work or they don't have a lot of knowledge in terms of nutrition. I mean, for someone like me, it seems easy to eat healthy or eat a nourishing diet, but a lot of people really have a very basic knowledge of nutrition, and that's okay.
Yeah,
Abby, we're going to continue this conversation. We got to go on a brief little break because I want to know, I want to talk about when we come back, the responsibility that weight loss companies have when it comes to enabling, you know, eating disorders and even some tools to help parents move forward. So we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Weight Watchers is under fire for a new diet app for kids. It's called Kerbo. And we are talking about all this right now and just how problematic it is. Back with us again is Abby Langer, who's a registered dietitian and nutritional counselor.
Thanks for joining us, Abby.
Thank you.
So, okay, Abby, to jump back into this conversation, I feel like when I read the story, I really want to know your thoughts when it came to the responsibility that, you know, these weight loss companies like Weight Watchers have when it comes to kind of enabling eating disorders. Because it seems like, obviously, dieting is their industry. Where's that line? How does it go too far?
You know, it goes too far when you try to market weight loss to kids. And I know that obesity is a huge issue in this country. But like I said before the break, we're not going to solve the obesity problem by putting kids on a diet. The research has shown that kids who are put on diets or kids who are around people who disparage them for their weight or for the way they look, have a higher incidence of eating disorders later on in life and are more likely to be chronic dieters into adulthood. So this is not the way to change things. You're just sort of like changing one problem for another. You know, for adults, you're right. It's weight loss is weight loss company's business. And there is no line, really. I mean, we have to take personal responsibility for ourselves, but I don't know. I mean, I don't believe really in diets at all.
Yeah, I mean, I have someone in my family who hit the nail on the head. I literally was around people talking about weight, and just the conversations around weight were very prevalent in the family. And at a very young age, she developed an eating disorder after being brought to a nutritionist and put on it wasn't really considered a diet, but a change in her eating habits, right? This is real what we're talking about, right? And also, it's interesting, and we talked about this behind the scenes, Ryan, how I was actually approached by a company that was working with Weight Watchers to promote this app.
I didn't think you were going to say it on the air, but it's like, do it.
And I was like, oh my, when they brought it up, I go, is this real? Like, I don't even know how you can even, they wanted to get influencers and do content around this. And I was like, and I sent the email to my colleague at the time. And she's just like, I refuse to be part of this. Yeah. like, and I just couldn't believe that this is something that they, like, these companies have huge amounts of money, focus groups. Are they not testing this out or even like, like going to these associations to see if this
you
is
know,
right?
What if, it's important to note, one of my colleagues actually signed up as a 14-year-old girl. She's not obviously a 14-year-old girl, but they, and then logged in nothing but mustard, celery, and water, and lots of hours on the treadmill, and the app came back to her, not with, you need to be careful, or, you know, it didn't trigger some sort of warning. It said how well she was doing.
Oh, see, yeah, that's crazy.
And that is insane. And I want to know, because a lot of times, you know, the conversation when it comes to family, friends, around, you know, having, I guess, conversations with someone that maybe you see that are having issues with their either their body and you want to, you know, talk about it, but it's like you don't know how to. So I guess when people even come to you, or even families come to you about changing their eating habits, or, you know, helping their friend change their eating habits, or their family members, I guess, what tools do you provide to kind of lead them into that conversation that can be difficult?
Yeah, so I mean, when people come to me, they know they have an issue. And the thing that I hear a lot from clients who have been chronic dieters are, you know, that they were put on a diet not at an early age, but not only that, but they were singled out for their weight within the family. So maybe their siblings could have seconds, or they could have dessert, but my client wasn't allowed to have that because she was the fat one, which is really hurtful, obviously, and damages somebody for life, basically, or until they get help for it. But so what I tell people is, make it about the whole family and never make it about weight. And, you know, one of my favorite things to say to parents is, if you make it a big deal, it's going to become a big deal. So just make sure that you never, first of all, never diet in front of your kids. Don't talk about your weight. Don't talk about their weight. And don't talk about other people's weight and the way other people look, because it's hurtful. It's hurtful, and it gives kids the idea that they're under scrutiny and that they're not good enough. It's just, it's not okay to do that. Set a good example for your kids. So if you're the one who's not eating a nourishing diet, that's what your kids are seeing, and that's what they will likely follow. So have a variety of food in your diet, including, you know, whatever, Oreo cookies or whatever, but mostly whole. Yeah, I love them. Whole, minimally processed food, and eat vegetables in front of your kids. Like, I have so many clients who come in who are kids, and the parents won't eat vegetables, and they say to their kids, yeah, I hate vegetables.
Wow,
well, do you really expect your kids get to like vegetables after you tell them that you hate them? Like, it's just, it's set a good example, and then, you know, take advantage if there's community resources, like cooking classes, or there needs to be more of them.
I could
classes
use
on
that
nutrition. That it's, you know, that's what we need.
Well, Abby Langer, thank you so much for being here and all your insights. We appreciate it. Where can people find out
you're
more
welcome.
About what you're doing?
Yeah, so I'm on abbylangernutrition.com and on Instagram and Twitter at Langer Nutrition, and on Facebook at Abby Langer Nutrition.
Well, thank you so much and have a great night.
Thank you, Abby.
You too, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. We've got what's trending in the news top of the hour coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Call Channel Q right now. 833-77-CALL-Q. That's 833-772-2557. We are the new Channel Q.
Now, we are asking you, how often have you used the internet to help you diagnose a sickness rather than going to a doctor?
Oh, girl, I feel so triggered by that.
Yeah, I mean, I think literally this is something everyone has done. How could you not? It's so hard when the information is just there, what we think is the information.
Well, okay, for me, I think I've always, people that don't have like, you know, health insurance, and you're like either freelancing or you don't have those benefits, the internet is your best friend at times. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like you need to do that. I've even done that, even going as far as like, you know, for my dog. Like, I look online, even though I freaked myself out from that too. Like, I get full on anxiety from the things that, you know, the internet tells me. Like, basically everyone that I love, I need to tell them that I only have 6 months to live.
God.
So well, it's a very intense thing.
There is a strategy to Googling things, by the way. I feel like there's a way to Google where you get information that's not just like the stuff that will freak you
out. I go down to the detail. I say the color. I say the bump size.
Okay.
I say if I go all the way down to detail because I feel like that is very important. Like WebMD is a beautiful thing and it's also a curse.
So have you been right or wrong at different points?
Oh, I think I've been wrong every single time. But
really?
Yeah, for sure. I've had to just go to the doctor.
Yeah, my ex had like was sick for a while, way back, and he kept doing blood tests, all this stuff. No one could figure it out. And I literally said to him, $1 million, you have mono. And lo and behold, weeks later when it was done, he had mono.
How did he get mono? That's nasty. Okay, anyway, I don't need to know on it. Okay, so wait, we actually have a caller, Bianca from Palm Springs. Girl, what are your thoughts about our question of the day? Have you ever used the internet to, you know, diagnose yourself rather than going to a doctor?
So my situation was actually going to the doctor, but me going online while at the doctor's because he couldn't figure out what my diagnosis was.
What?
So I looked it up online and I gave him the option of maybe, you know, maybe I had the whooping cough, and the doctor told me, you know what? That sounds like a good idea. I think maybe that is your diagnosis.
Bianca, so are you going to go back to that doctor?
Girl, I hope not.
No, never. But it was me going to the doctor to diagnose myself.
I hope you didn't have to pay that copay. That is the worst.
I had to pay just to go in.
Girl, oh my goodness, that would have been the scariest thing, which is, you know, why people fear going to the doctor and they rather just look online, because sometimes online has a point.
Yeah, it really did. And then I have to pay for my medicine that I've, like, just for myself. You know?
Yeah, he owed you. He should have just, like, done everything for free.
No, for sure. Even the medicine.
Yeah.
Well, thank
you,
Bianca.
For my medicine, I'd appreciate it.
Right. Well, thank you for listening out in Palm Springs. We appreciate you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, guys.
Love yous. Bye, babes.
That's an interesting thing to do. Imagine you're at the doctor and your doctor's like, yeah, I'm not sure.
It's like, where did you go to medical school again? I don't know. Do you?
I mean, I even feel like when I was getting my first breast exam recently, when the mammogram, I was like, did you do this? Are you sure you're doing this? I was like going over it.
Okay. Well, first of all, I know the type of person you are. You should not be questioning the doctor, like, especially for a doctor that's like, it's a certain type of field. Like, if you're just going to an urgent care, maybe question them. But like a doctor like that, they should know what they're
doing. Listen, let's be clear. It is your health. It is your life. It is your body. And there's been so many misdiagnoses, whatever, of so many things. And I think that it is okay to question people, even if they're quote-unquote experts.
Well, I did want to read a social media response before we read some more after this break. This one honestly describes me surfing the internet.
Okay.
Me, sore throat. Internet, it's cancer. Me, tired a lot. Internet, it's cancer. Me, my toe hurts. Internet, it's cancer. So
you have to be careful. There is the balance between being, what do they call it when you always think you have something?
Oh my God,
We can't, diagnoses and that big word. We just can't figure it out.
I can't remember.
But like that, you could either be that or you actually have an instinct and you find something. It's real.
Yeah, well, we're going to read some more of your responses. And of course, give us a call if you have some stories about some wonky things that you've searched up. Let us know it. What's the phone number?
833-77-CULL-Q.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, so how often have you used the internet to help you diagnose a sickness rather than going to a doctor? We've been talking about that right here on Let's Go There.
I feel judged, by the way.
Why?
I don't know, because this is too close to home.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, that word, I don't know why.
Hypochondria.
We got a brain fart, as they call it.
No. You had the brain fart. My word was just pretty big. So I have an excuse.
Whatever.
Yeah,
so we also asked you that question on social media, and we got a ton of responses.
Yes. Okay, so Bex G Artist said, my doctor was terrible in the lead up to and when my hair started falling out. I ended up getting diagnosed online via a men's health clinic.
Oh, God.
That's the worst. Joe says, quite often, though, go urgent care or my doctor, of course, to get a prescription, though. Can you do that? Can you just like be like, oh, I already know what I have. Can you just prescribe me?
No, but I mean, you could say it kind of cuts corners. The doctor might be like, sounds like you're right. Okay, here you go.
No, see, I don't see if any, if my doctor at all is like agreeing with something on the internet, somebody got to go. And it's not the internet. Josie Stevens says all the time, I have a full on medical degree from Google University at this point. God. I'm kidding. But I think everyone Googles that kind of stuff. When I was a kid, my parents had a medical book that you could look up symptoms. And so I think this habit predates the internet.
Oh, like an encyclopedia? I had a whole library of encyclopedias in my house. I felt really cool.
I mean, guess what? I have Grey's Anatomy and I feel the same way. Like,
just
I feel like I know
Grey's Anatomy.
Yes, I know the exact, you know, medical terms for everything.
Oh,
like, that
except
shows,
hypochondria.
Okay, that's not my fault. That is
big
not my
word
fault.
Of the day. Well, you can keep on tweeting us at We Are Channel Q if you want to respond to us all about if you are one of those people that Googles to diagnose yourself instead of going to the doctor.
And Dr. Chris is going to be joining us soon, so I really cannot wait to hear his POV on this.
Yeah, but for now, let's get into our Yas Queen of the Day.
Yas Queen.
Now, people around the country are sending postcards to students in El Paso to show them there is plenty of good in our world. We love this.
Oh, yeah. This reminds me of that story of the old man who lost his wife in the shooting, and she had no family left, and everyone that was around the area came into our funeral to send her a kind of like a home going.
Yeah,
it was very beautiful.
Yeah, it really
the photos.
Was. Well, now two teachers in El Paso, Texas, who put out a call for people to send postcards to their students after the shooting at a local Walmart have been inundated with more than 1,000 cards and counting. This comes from Teresa Garrett, a fourth grade teacher at Tom Leah Elementary School, who said it has been a very humbling experience to receive such an outpouring of love and kindness from everyone. Floris, who's an El Paso teacher for the past 20 years, decided to post a request on Facebook for cards for her students after feeling sad and in disbelief. And they also said this: the following day after posting on Facebook, was going to be our first day of school, and I thought, I don't know my students yet, but I know they need to hear this message, as opposed to the message of the man who came to our city. We heard his message. I wanted them to hear the voices of other people who love them. So one card, yeah, they talked about some of the cards that came in. They said one card had a fire truck on it, and a student was so excited because he wants to be a fireman. He started asking all these questions in terms of how to become one. And then another girl whose dad was actually there at the shooting, she just smiled at her card. So imagine that. They loved doing this as an act of kindness and paying it forward. They're going to be delivering items to the other classrooms as well.
I mean, honestly, it's like the most, one, this is the most touching story that I feel like, one, is coming out of this entire thing. But it's just really sad. The whole situation is just really sad. The fact that we have to continue to go through stuff like this in our lives, you know?
Yeah, so they're actually going to, because of the overwhelming response to the request, they plan to distribute the gifts and postcards they've received to other schools in the district of around 57,000 students. And
I mean, teachers are amazing.
Yeah, because
like, we wouldn't be anywhere without a teacher. They literally are just incredible.
I mean, imagine how much work they already have, and then let alone dealing with the stress and issues we are dealing with today.
Right.
Added on to that, it is crazy. They deserve a lot more. So these teachers want the people that sent those cards to know that their message is being heard. She said, I know that we won't be able to respond to all of them, but it's made a huge difference for our community. I honestly believe there's so much more good out there than bad. So more than a glimmer of hope in these really crazy and sometimes dark times.
I mean, this is even more than a yes queen, because this just exceeds the amount of humanity that we see that it still exists in our country and in our world, because it's beautiful how people rally together in the midst of terrible things happening. So, especially teachers leading the way. Like, honey, if I was a teacher, I wouldn't be doing half the stuff, but this is a beautiful situation that teachers continue to look outside of their own selves and their situations to be
and
there for their
students. And they're being unfortunately forced to.
Yeah, they are.
But they are stepping it up.
For sure.
All right. Well, that gets our Yas Queen. If you want to nominate a Yas Queen that we can mention here on Let's Go There, just hit us up on social media at We Are Channel Q. Coming up, Dr. Chris from Loveline is in the studio. Don't go anywhere. Also on the show today, we talked about Weight Watchers releasing this app for kids diet. What are your thoughts on that?
It's a mess. You know, 97% of diets fail right? People usually aren't successful in them. And again, we live in a culture where the work should be about learning how to accept your body as is, and to set your child up at such a young age with a hyper focus on their weight as it tying it to their value. That, yeah, that's psychologically problematic.
I was talking to this or about this to someone today about emotional intelligence and how we need to have emotional intelligence classes in schools. And I feel like it would support people who are going through these things to look at like the deeper issues about of what they're feeling about themselves, or to be able to detach what they're, how they feel about themselves from maybe the world out there, which can be messed up.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's funny. Often a lot of things we learn in school now are Googleable on our phone, and we don't need to learn them or memorize them. Like, I don't need to know the capital of cities. I can Google that.
But what cool I do need to know them. Is
yeah, I know. It's a good party trick. But yeah, emotional intelligence, what a valuable thing. Relational skill building. Imagine if we had classes in that.
Yeah.
Understanding.
How much better would people.
Yeah, yes, understanding your trauma and
right.
Like, and background and your family history. God, let's create that family tree.
I'm down. I'm down.
All right. Well, Dr. Chris will be.
Emotional.
I see the tears. Dr. Chris will be on Loveline right after our show Monday through Thursday. We are back tomorrow. We've got the Hear Me Out guys. They're back, our favorite therapists. We're talking about also news and studies around people being more lonely and how we can get out of it. And then all this news resurfacing around Elizabeth Warren and how she used to be a Republican.
So Shira just described our entire 3-hour show.
Change
coming up
what it means. Yes. Don't listen to the show. Just listen to that.
Just listen to that.
By the way, we also have a podcast. So
we sure do.
Our shows go up as a complete podcast. So definitely keep up to date with all of that, because we have a lot of stuff that we do.
Well, yeah, because it's less commercials. It's just us talking. It's all the amazing things you would want.
So subscribe and follow us. We are channelq.com. You'll be able to find that podcast. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay.
Wow. See you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.